This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أسعد بي قلوبنا واغفر بي ذنوبنا واشرح بي صدورنا يا ربنا أذهب بي أحزاننا فرج بي همومنا واجعله شاهدا لنا يا ربنا هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق والقرآن.
بسم الله الحمد لله wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah. Dear sisters, dear brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to this Twitter Spaces session, which is all about women in the Quran. So yesterday we looked at the topic of one of the great women that is mentioned in the Quran, or her story is mentioned in the Quran, and that's the mother of Musa alayhi salam. And today, inshallah, we're going to be looking at the story of Maryam alayhi salam and her mother, the mother of Maryam alayhi salam, who was also a great woman, who was basically, her name was Hannah. And so the story of Maryam alayhi salam's mother, that's Mary in, you know, in English, Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, Isa alayhi salam. Her mother, Mary's mother, was a pious woman. She was married to Imran, and they were a prominent family in Bani Israel, and people respected them a lot. But they had no children. And later on in life, Maryam's mother, Hannah, she became pregnant. And she was so overjoyed, and the whole community were overjoyed. They were looking forward to the birth of this child. But just before Maryam alayhi salam was born, just before this baby was born, Maryam alayhi salam's father passed away. He passed away. Imran passed away. And so obviously this was a tragedy. And so Maryam alayhi salam's mother was left with the daunting task of knowing that she's going to have a baby and her husband has passed away. And she swore an oath. She swore an oath that whatever is in her womb, in other words, her baby, that she would dedicate that baby to God, to Allah. And, and that's what it means, the word Muharrar in the Quran, you know. She swore an oath that she would leave this baby free for Allah's worship alone. And that's what people used to do, you know. But it was usually boys that they did that with, right, not girls. Just one second, I'm afraid I just have to sort something out. Just one second. I hope you can all still hear me. Just give me one second, inshallah. I just have to sort something out technically here. And then we'll continue with our story of Maryam alayhi salam. By the way, during the session, if anyone wants to, you know, make a comment or wants to ask a question, you can always do that, inshallah. Okay, let me just sort that out. Yep, sorted. Okay. So, yes, as I was saying, Maryam alayhi salam's mother, Hannah, she promised that what was in her womb would be free for Allah. And she made a very beautiful dua. She said, this is when she was born. When Maryam alayhi salam was then born, her mother was very surprised, you know, like, because she had assumed or expected to have a son. And it's because sons are the ones that, you know, you would dedicate to the masjid or to the place of worship. And of course, they lived in Jerusalem. You know, they lived, subhanAllah, in, you know, near Masjid al-Aqsa. And Masjid al-Aqsa, or Bayt al-Maqdis, it was, you know, the sacred house, the sacred place of worship of many of the prophets of the past. And so there was a big place of worship there, and she wanted to dedicate her child to that place of worship. But when she gave birth to a daughter, she was surprised, you know, that how will she dedicate this child to the masjid? But she made a dua immediately, and she said, you know, inni u'idhuha bika wa dhurriyataha min ash-shaytani rajim. She said, I seek refuge for her sake in you and for her progeny from shaitan. And that's a beautiful dua that we as mothers can make as well. You know, mothers and fathers can make that dua for their children. Inni u'idhuha bika wa dhurriyataha min ash-shaytani rajim, is what she said. And, you know, Zakaria, who was a relative of theirs, who was an uncle of Maryam, the baby Maryam, he was entrusted, he was somebody who worked for the masjid, or he worked in the masjid, and he was dedicated to the masjid as well. So it just so happened that, you know, they had somebody who was a mahram to Maryam alayhi salam, who was in the masjid, so they thought, okay, he can look after her, he can make sure that she is safe and looked after, and she can be dedicated to the masjid. So Zakaria made a very special room for Maryam, and a mihrab, which is like a space for worship. You know, the word mihrab, it denotes like struggle and, you know, working hard against your desires to really focus and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Maryam alayhi salam used to dwell in that place in the masjid. Inshallah, we're going to listen to some ayat of Quran related to this, so that, you know, we can ponder over these verses. Before we hear the ayat about the story of Maryam alayhi salam, I want you to listen to this ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how Maryam was a role model for all times, a role model for all times. And this is in Surah At-Tahrim.
ضرب الله مثلا للذين آمنوا امرأة فرعون إذ قالت رب ابن لي عندك بيتا في الجنة ونجني من فرعون وعمله ونجني من القوم الظالمين ومريم ابنة عمران التي أحصنت فرجها فنفخنا فيه من روحنا وصدقت بكلمات ربها وكتبه وكانت من القانتين.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Tahrim, ayah number 11 and 12, that Allah gives you an example, sets forth an example for the believers, a role model for the believers, the wife of Pharaoh. And we covered the wife of Pharaoh in two or three sessions ago. Her name was Asiya, who made dua, "My Lord, build me a house in paradise near you and deliver me from Pharaoh and his evil doing and save me from the wrongdoing people." So she was a believer amongst disbelievers in the house of the greatest tyrant who had ever lived, who was torturing her for being a believer and persecuting her for that. And she made this dua that she preferred to be a believer and to die and be close to Allah over, you know, pretending to be a disbeliever or being a disbeliever and living in the easy life. And then Allah gives, so in this ayah, he gave the example of the wife of Pharaoh as a role model for the believers, male and female. And then in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of Maryam. And he says, and there is also the example of Maryam, the Mary, the daughter of Imran, who guarded her chastity. So we breathed into her womb through our angel, and that's Jibril, alayhi salam. And she testified to the words of her Lord and his scriptures and was one of the sincerely devout. Min al-qanitin. And qanitin means, you know, from the qanitin means from the people who were devoted to Allah. But it also means, a qanita is also somebody who, a woman who stands in prayer for a long time. People who stand in prayer for long periods of time. And, you know, that's a reminder to us in our times and, you know, in this Ramadan as well, you know, that that's something that is a characteristic of the best people who ever lived. And Maryam alayhi salam was the greatest woman who ever lived. Some of the scholars even went so far as to say that she was a female prophet, right? That's not the majority opinion, but there were some scholars who said that because she met the angel and, of course, she was inspired by the angel, right? And directly by Allah. So, anyway, Maryam alayhi salam, here Allah has given her as an example, as a role model for the believers, male and female. And the what made her great was her ibadah and her devotion in her own right. So even in this ayah, you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't call her the mother of Jesus, right? So she wasn't only great in relation to the fact that she was the mother of Isa alayhi salam, although that was a great task that she fulfilled, right? Giving birth to Isa alayhi salam and bringing him to the people. She was great in her own right. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala singles her out in this ayah. And he mentions her without mentioning Isa alayhi salam in this ayah. Because she guarded her chastity. So she was very careful about herself and her chastity. And because she testified and she believed in the words of Allah and his scriptures. And she was sincerely devout and she used to spend long periods of time standing in prayer. And we said that, you know, Zakaria alayhi salam was her guardian in the masjid, Masjid al-Aqsa, of that time. And so she had a space in the masjid. And now we're going to go to Surah Maryam. And in Surah Maryam, and this is the surah that is named after Mary, Maryam alayhi salam, we are going to look at some of the verses about Maryam alayhi salam.
اذكر في الكتاب مريم إذ انتبذت من أهلها مكانا شرقيا فاتخذت من دونهم حجابا فأرسلنا
Okay, so this takes us to a part of her story. So after she's, she's devoted to the masjid, she has this space in the masjid. One of the things that Zakaria alayhi salam used to notice was that when he came to visit Maryam alayhi salam, one of the miracles or karamat that Allah had bestowed on Maryam alayhi salam was that she would have food, you know, without anyone giving it to her. She would have the food that was usually available, or the fruits that were usually available in the winter, she would have them in the summer. And the fruits that were available in the summer, she would have them in the winter. And Zakaria came and he would ask her, you know, where did you get this from? And she would say, this is from Allah. And Allah gives to whomever he wills without any, you know, hisab, without any count, without counting. And this was a reminder to Zakaria alayhi salam, you know, that in his own life, you know, he was suffering or he was going through something that was very difficult for him. And that was that he was an elderly man and he had no children. And so he had been wishing for a child for a long time. And when Maryam, and she was a young girl here, you know, when she had Isa alayhi salam, she was only a teenager. So here she must have been even younger. But look how clever she was, mashallah, and how insightful. When she said this to Zakaria, it served as a reminder to Zakaria. And Zakaria alayhi salam immediately thought, well, yes, you know, what she said is true. Allah can give to whomsoever he wills without hisab, without any count, without counting, without any reckoning. So he was inspired by Maryam to make dua. And he made dua to Allah that he would give him a child. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Zakaria alayhi salam his son Yahya. So you see, she was such an inspiring person that she even inspired the Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam. And you know, when I read that, I thought to myself, subhanAllah, you never know, you know, when you mention something good to people, when you remind somebody of something, and we should never be afraid, you know, as women, we shouldn't be afraid of reminding people of Allah, reminding people about Islam, enjoining the good, forbidding the evil. When we do that, you don't know what's going on in somebody's life that, you know, your words might inspire them in a way that you never even thought, right? When Maryam alayhi salam mentioned this, she was talking about food. In reality, you know, it was about food that, you know, that Allah had given her this rizq without hisab. And she was making a point related to that, really. But for Zakaria alayhi salam, it had another meaning, you know. And so you never know when you mention something good, when you utter good words and you enjoin the good and you forbid the evil, or you remind people of Allah, you never know how it's going to, how they're going to apply it to their own personal problems and their own personal situation. So in these ayats that we just covered, this is after that period, and Maryam alayhi salam went away, and Allah says, and mention in the book the story of Maryam when she withdrew from her family to a place in the east, screening herself off from them. Then we sent to her our angel, Jibreel, and he appeared before her as a basharan sawiya, which means like a man, in the form of a man who's very handsome, who's very like symmetrical, right? That's what sawiya denotes, perfectly formed. So there's Maryam alayhi salam. She's in seclusion, and an angel in the shape of a man comes in front of her. She doesn't know it's an angel. She thinks it's a man. And she's not used to being around men. You know, it's not something that she does. She is always in seclusion in the masjid, and she's with, if she meets anyone, it's Zakaria and her family members. Alayhi salam. So here she's, you know, thinking, why is this man here? And then we're all alone. and what are his intentions. You know, she doesn't know what his intentions are. So immediately, she says, so she says immediately to him, she's qalat, she appealed, I seek refuge in Ar-Rahman, in the most compassionate, from you. So leave me alone if you are God-fearing. Okay. So she immediately, you know, kind of remembers Allah and she reminds him of Allah, because obviously she thinks it's a human being. And she says, I seek refuge in Allah from you. If you have any fear of Allah, you should go away from here. Like, you shouldn't be in a place where, you know, in seclusion where I am. And he said, so the scholars say that at this point, the angel then revealed himself in his original form, Jibreel alayhi salam. He was in the shape of a man, but then he revealed himself in the shape, in his original form, as an angel. And he said, I am only a messenger from your Lord, sent to bless you with a pure son. Ghulam and Zakiya, a pure son. So he's telling her, I'm here, I'm just a messenger from Allah to tell you that you're going to have a son. And then she says, قَالَتْ أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامٌ. She says, how can I have a son when no man has ever touched me, nor am I unchaste? Right? She's saying, I'm not a loose woman. I'm not somebody who's had any relations. And no man has ever touched me. How can I have a son? So he says, this is, you know, what your Lord has said. And so it will be. Your Lord says, it is easy for me. And so will we make him a sign for humanity and a mercy from us. It is a matter already decreed. In other words, he's telling her, you're already pregnant. Can you imagine? He's telling her, you are already pregnant. And he had obviously blown the soul into, they say, into her sleeve, right? And subhanAllah, you know, Maryam alayhi salam, she was pregnant. And remember that she was a teenager at this time. You know, the scholars say she was about 16 years old. So she's a very young woman, young girl, and she's pregnant. And she's a very innocent person. You know, imagine if you've lived in seclusion all these years and you've lived a life of ibadah and devotion, and that's what you love doing and that's what your life is all about. And now she is pregnant and she knows that this is going to be the biggest test that she could ever imagine, because in her community and in her society, as is the case in all, you know, religious societies, a woman who comes, who doesn't have a husband and she is pregnant, is going to have a lot of difficulty. She's going to be accused of all sorts of things. And nothing could be further from the truth when it comes to Maryam alayhi salam. She's the opposite of that, right? And yet she knows that she's going to be, you know, subject to all sorts of accusations. حملته
فانتبذت به مكانا قصيا فأجاء قالت يا ليتني مت قبل هذا وكنت نسيا منسيا.
And subhanAllah, you know, yesterday we talked about the mother of Musa alayhi salam, and we said that look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows that he understands the deepest feelings and the deepest pains of his servants, right? Like male and female. And he really understands the pain of mothers, you know, the difficulty that a mother goes through. There's something there that the Quran really highlights, you know, again and again. And here, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so she conceived him and withdrew with him to a remote place. So she went away from people, you know, because obviously she didn't want people to realize that she's pregnant. Then the pains of labor drove her to the trunk of a palm tree. And she cried, alas, I wish I had died before this and was a thing long forgotten. So here, Maryam alayhi salam, not only is she going through labor alone, right? So this is the contrast between the story, you know, in the Quran and then the Christian tradition, where, you know, the idea of Joseph and Maryam, you know, is there and going to this inn and that kind of thing. You know, in the Islamic story, in the Quran, there's no Joseph, right? Basically, here, Maryam alayhi salam is all alone. She's all alone. And she gives birth, well, she's going through labor, and she's obviously like leaning against a tree, right? Or in the shade of a tree. And in the middle of her labor pains, and you know, labor is, as women will say, and as myself as a woman who's been through labor 4 times, will tell you that although having a baby is a wonderful thing, going through labor is one of the hardest things, you know, that you'll ever do. And there are moments during labor where you think you're going to die, you know. I'm not trying to scare any sisters out there who, you know, young sisters, but I think, you know, obviously you don't die, inshallah, you know, most people don't. They, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made that difficult period only for a short time, and then, you know, you come out of it and you completely forget about it, right? But when you're in the middle of it, it's very, very difficult. It's very, very difficult. And I can't imagine what it would be like to go through it alone with the burden of knowing that not only is there no father, not only is there no family support there with you, but that, and you know, let alone a nurse or a midwife, you know, but that you will now be going back with this baby and you will be accused of all sorts of things, you know, the worst things that for a believing woman to be accused of, subhanAllah. So you can imagine with all of these psychological things as well on Maryam alayhi salam's mind, she says, you know, she says, oh, woe is me. I wish I had died before this and was a thing long forgotten. And this is a statement, really, that, you know, I think Aisha radiallahu anha as well, she made a similar statement, probably inspired by this, when, you know, she went through certain difficult periods in her life where she felt that she'd made some mistakes and she wished that, you know, she hadn't made those mistakes. And inshallah, we'll mention Aisha radiallahu anha in a future session, because she's also a woman who's mentioned or who's referred to in the Quran. And so she's basically saying, I'd rather die than be accused of these terrible things. I'd rather die than, you know, and this is the state of a believing woman. You know, a believing woman doesn't want any kind of stain on her reputation, and she doesn't want to be accused of anything. And Islam takes that kind of accusation very, very seriously. And that's why, you know, if a person ever accuses a believing woman of, you know, promiscuity, they have to bring forth witnesses. And if they don't, they are punished. They're punished for even saying it. Even if it's true. Even if it would have been true. If a person accuses a believing woman of, you know, promiscuity or of committing zina, and they don't have witnesses, that person, right, is lashed. So you can't just take the reputation of a believing woman lightly. So anyway, here Maryam alayhi salam, she's in this very dire situation. Subhanallah.
تساقط عليك رطبا جنيا فكلي واشربي وقري عينا فإما ترين من البشر أحدا فقولي إني نذرت للرحمن صوما فقولي صوما فلن أكلم اليوم إنسيا.
So then a voice comes from under her. Do not grieve, your Lord has provided a stream at your feet. And shake the trunk of this palm tree towards you. It will drop fresh, ripe dates upon you. So, you know, there's a difference of opinion regarding whose voice this was, whether it was the voice of an angel or if it was the voice of Isa alayhi salam, right? But, you know, we know that Isa alayhi salam could speak from his cradle, right? But anyway, regardless, there is a voice who says to her, don't grieve, your Lord has provided a stream at your feet. So Allah has given her fresh water, right? And then it says, and shake the trunk of this palm tree towards you. It will drop fresh, ripe dates upon you. So even though she's in this very difficult situation, she's being asked to take some action. She's being asked to do something, you know. And, you know, some of the scholars, they comment on this and they say, well, you know, shaking or pushing a palm tree doesn't actually cause it to move, right? Because it's so solid, so hard. And yet, in this ayah, she's being asked to at least try to, you know, at least take some action. And it's only when she would take that action that fresh, ripe dates will fall on her. And it's not really because of what she does that they will fall on her. It's just that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving her the message that, and giving us the message that when you want to achieve something or when you want your state to change or your situation to change, you have to take some action. Even if that action seems ineffective, you have to take some action. You can't just sit back and expect things to come to you, right? So mashallah, Maryam alayhi salam has dates, she has fresh water. And this is why some of the, you know, some scholars and people say that, you know, dates and water are very good for mothers. They're good things for mothers to have, especially like when they're going to breastfeed. Because dates are very like concentrated in terms of nutrition and natural sugars, right? And that's what you need really to produce milk. So, and for energy, of course. So they encourage, you know, mothers to have dates and water. Okay, so now she has been provided with something. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to her, so eat and drink and put your heart at ease. But if you see any person, if you see any people, so in other words from Bani Israel, say, I have vowed silence to the most compassionate, to Ar-Rahman. So I'm not talking to anyone today. I'm fasting, basically, it says. And in those days, the fasting, one of the types of fasting that they used to do was fasting from speech. Can you imagine us doing that in our times? Fasting from speech. That would be good. I think we need a bit of that, don't we? But yeah, one of the ways of fasting in the Sharia's before us, in the laws before us, was fasting from speech. So Maryam alayhi salam is told to make, to tell people, not verbally, but to indicate to them that she's fasting and that she's not going to be speaking to anyone, right? So in a way, Allah is protecting her from having to explain herself. And then...
فأتت به قومها تحمله قالوا يا مريم لقد جئت شيئا فريا يا أخت هارون ما كان أبوك امرأ سوء وما كانت أمك بغيا فأشارت إليه كيف نكلم من كان في المهد صبيا قال إني عبد الله آتاني الكتاب وجعلني نبيا وجعلني مباركا أينما كنت وأوصاني بالصلاة والزكاة ما دمت حيا وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدتُّ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيًّا ذَلِكَ عِيسَى ابْنُ مَرْيَمَ قَوْلَ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي فِيهِ يَمْتَرُونَ.
Okay, so now she comes to the people and she's, you know, she's indicating. So Allah says, then she returned to her people carrying him. So she's carrying this baby. They said in shock, oh, Mary, you have certainly done a horrible thing. You can just imagine the types of things she was accused of, right? And then they said, oh, sister of Harun, your father was not an indecent man, nor was your mum unchaste, nor was your mother unchaste. You know, that's what people usually do, right? When you, if you do something bad, or if you're accused of something bad, people say, you know, your parents weren't bad people, they were good people, right? Because usually people see the actions of children as reflections of... the actions of the parents or the upbringing of the parents. So they're saying to her, you know, your family isn't this type of family where you would have a child out of wedlock, basically. That's what they're saying. And your mother wasn't a woman who was unchaste. And so you can just imagine how much this must have hurt Maryam alayhi salam, right? To hear these terrible things being said about her. And she just pointed to him. So she pointed to the baby. They exclaimed, how can we talk to someone who is an infant in the cradle? Right? So she's saying to, she's basically saying to them, talk to the baby, right? Talk to the baby about it, not me, right? And so they're saying, well, how can we talk to a child who's in its cradle? But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Isa alayhi salam to be able to speak in his cradle. SubhanAllah, it's one of the miracles of Jesus, of Isa alayhi salam. And he said, Jesus declared, I am truly a servant of Allah. He has destined me to be given the scripture and to be a prophet. He has made me a blessing wherever I go, and bid me to establish prayer and give the zakah, give the alms tax, as long as I live, and to be kind to my mother. He has not made me arrogant or defiant. SubhanAllah, beautiful characteristics. And he says, Wassalamu alayya, peace be upon me, the day I was born, the day I die, and the day I will be raised back to life. And of course, as Muslims, we believe that the day Isa dies hasn't come yet, right? Because Isa alayhi salam was raised up to the heavens, and he will return, and he will live, and he will die a natural death here on earth. And then, you know, that will be his actual death. And then Allah says, that is Jesus, son of Mary. And this is a word of truth about which they dispute. And this is Isa ibn Maryam. You know, and basically Allah is saying that his story is a story about which people dispute. They don't know the truth about it, right? And this is one of the beautiful things about the Quran, that the Quran came to clarify, didn't it, for the Christians and for the Jews as well, what the reality and the truth regarding Isa alayhi salam was, and the reality and the truth regarding Mary. Because even, you know, up to today, there are people who consider Mary to be a saint. They treat her almost divine, right? And or as divine, they call to her and pray to her, right? And there are people who still consider her to have been, you know, an immoral woman, subhanAllah. So here in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clears her name and tells us the reality of her story and the story of Isa alayhi salam. And you know, the name of Maryam alayhi salam is mentioned more in the Quran than the name of Isa alayhi salam is mentioned. You can see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala held this woman in great regard, and that she was a true worshipper of Allah, and she carried out whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put on her shoulders, right? She accepted the role that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her, and she carried that out. And we can only imagine, you know, what she went through even afterwards, you know, as Isa alayhi salam grew up. And of course, he was rejected and he was opposed by his people, right? Imagine everything that she went through, witnessing all of that, right? So inshallah, we've come to the end of today's session. We were just touching on one of the women mentioned in the Quran as a role model for men and women, and she is Mary, Maryam alayhi salam, the mother of Jesus, and she's the daughter of Imran, and she's mentioned in various places in the Quran. If you want to look it up, you can look in Surah Maryam especially, and also in Surah Tahrim, she's mentioned with the wife of Pharaoh, both of whom are great role model to your friends and family. And also, please consider supporting Muslim Womanhood. We're an organization that wants to bring great material and, you know, create television programs and courses and launch an international conference for Muslim women to really provide leadership to Muslim women in our precarious times. So please do consider supporting us by going to launchgood.com/Muslim women. That's launchgood.com/Muslim women. But also share that link with others. You know, if you could, each of you could share it with three people, then inshallah you'll be helping us spread the khair, you know. And whoever donates because of you, you will also get reward for that. So that's launchgood.com/Muslim women. And please support our work so that we can grow, we can really provide. Like, I would love to turn this Women in the Quran these sessions, turn it into a fully fledged course, you know, that we film properly and we put out there available to sisters so they can really be inspired by the Quran, and that we can change the narrative regarding the Quran, you know, where people accuse the Quran of being a book that is addressed to men or that favors men in some warped way, when it is anything but that, right? We all know that it's anything but that.
تستقيم